Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Yeah. Well, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris. And today we're going to talk about hemp. But I first want to make a notation for anybody who's listening in. If you want to be able to talk and chat with our guests, just dial 347-945-6003 and hit the one key, and I will unmute your mic. But I first want to say hello to my listeners north and south and east and west and all the people in the 30 countries around the globe who was tuning in tonight. Thank you, because I so appreciate that. And for those who got knocked off by accident because the server was saying that the show was going to be next week, I don't know what's going on. That's the glitch I got to deal with. But all my shows will be here each and every Friday through January. So trust and believe. I'll be down to the wire trying to straighten it out. But I want to say hi to my co-host before I bring my special guest on. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. I'm doing good on this great Friday night, Friday evening. How are you doing?
Well, I'm a little rattled and stuff because I was saying, why my show was saying it's not posted. I was shaking.
Yeah, me too.
Fast.
I know. I was trying to get on with you. Yeah.
I know, baby. I'm saying, what's going on? Even my guest called in. He said, what's going on? I can't get on. You know, figure that out. The devil is busy.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I want to say hello to my guest, Dwayne, who is in Colorado, growing that hemp. And how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Terry. Thank you for having me on.
Always. You know, I just want to say to those people who are always trying to say there's no use for the hemp. Now, I have nothing to do with y'all people who roll your marijuana or who smoke it in a pipe. It is what it is, you know. But you know something? It goes further than that. You know, I know that makes y'all feel good, but it makes me feel even better when you can use the marijuana plant and make, you know, clothing from it and other things, you know, because, hey. But one thing I need to ask my guests, suppose, Dwayne, I had an outfit made from hemp, and God forbid, you know, somebody pluck a cigarette or some kind of way my clothes catch fire. Is it going to smell like marijuana? Am I going to get high? Or do I got to run and try to jump in some water?
No, not at all. Not at all. That's, you know, there's a lot of controversy between, well, what you said called marijuana and hemp. And I'm going to say this, and it's going to confuse you even more, is that
okay.
All hemp is cannabis, but not all cannabis is hemp. Hemp is only hemp by statute, and hemp is cannabis, and it's only, but hemp is cannabis that has less than 0.3% of THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, and that's the part that gets you high.
So that's the difference is that hemp is different parts of the marijuana plant. It's the part that's low in the ingredient that makes you high. That, you know, like there's
yes,
the bud,
yes.
There's the seed, there's different parts that I know about, but I ain't saying I know weed. I'm just saying, you know, I know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. That, and that's only that way because of statute. Because really it's the same plant, but it has different cultivars of the plant have different levels of the THC. And that's really the only difference. If you have a hemp plant and a cannabis plant next to each other, just by looking at them, you couldn't tell the difference.
Oh, so what you're saying, you're growing hemp. You're not growing the part that the cannabis that gets you high, you're just growing a part that can be used for other things like clothing and stuff.
Yeah, the thing with the cannabis plant, as far as the marijuana side goes, you know, they basically have one product, and that's the marijuana that gets you high. But if you and even the hemp guys that jumped into the hemp market first, you know, they're growing hemp that has a high level of another cannabinoid called CBD. And that stands for cannabidiol. And that has some medicinal properties to it. And that's what all the CBD rage is about. But in fact, the CBD and the THC both work together in what's called an entourage effect that can even help your health more. But you have to realize that the CBD is good for all cells, okay? It helps feed all cells. Whereas the THC, it will kill cancer cells. So if you're trying to use CBD to kill cancer, you're not going to do it because you're feeding all the cells, including the cancer cells. But if you have the THC and the CBD, then the THC is going to kill the cancer cells and the CBD is going to nourish the healthy cell. And I'm not a doctor, so don't take that as advice, but that's what I've gleaned from my research. But the thing is, you're still, even with the CBD or the THC, you only have one product. You have THC or you got CBD. Now, if you're taking the hemp plant and you look at the whole plant processing, you have the seeds, which is you can use the seeds for food. You can use the seeds for oil. You can use the seeds for to make cosmetics, the oil from the seeds. You can use the oil from the seeds to make biodiesel, and that's just the seeds. Now, you can, when you do harvest the seeds, you can get a little bit of oil or residual flour also, which is, can be turned into the CBD. But then you have also the stalks of the plant. And the stalks of the plant have basically two parts. One of those is called the bast, and that's the inner pith part. And the other is called the hird, and that's the outer, like, bark part. And those two, also those two components, have specific uses. The bast is typically used for things like paper or construction materials like hempcrete, or it can also be used for spill remediation, like oil spill remediation. It's very absorbent, so it can sop up oil spills. And then the bast part of it, that's the typical part that's used for fiber and to make textiles. And to make clothing.
Can I stop you right there, Dwayne?
Sure.
The reason why I stop you because you're very thorough, and I don't want you to give up all the information because I know my co-host Chris got a question. Because if I let you talk, man, he ain't gonna have no question. But I got a good one after he asks his question. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, Dwayne. My name's Chris Michael Ward. Nice to meet you.
You too,
said
Chris.
On your Facebook. Yeah, you said on your You said on your Facebook page, coffee filters need to be made from hemp. Now, my question is, I've never used a coffee filter made of hemp. Is that possible? I mean, has that been done yet?
It hasn't. Not that I know of that it's been done, but it's certainly possible to do it. You would make it from the bast part of the plant, the inner pith part of the plant that's typically used to make paper.
Okay, well,
so yes, it could be made. The problem is we're still in the embryonic stage of this whole hemp industry. Hemp, mm-hmm. When hemp is fully, when we get it all up and running, it's going to be the next $1 trillion industry in the United States. But we're not. That's going to take quite a while because we're just not there. We don't have the infrastructure yet. We don't have the supply chains all built out yet, and so it's going to take a while to get there. But anything that you can make out of a tree, you can make out of hemp. Anything you can make out of petroleum, you can make out of hemp. So, you know, we don't have to mine for the petroleum. We don't have to cut the trees down. You can make what they call hemp wood. There's a company in Kentucky making hemp wood out of the fiber. And they use it, and it's strong enough to be load-bearing. So you can use that to frame a house, and then you can make the walls out of hempcrete, and then you can make the flooring out of that also. And about the only part you can't make out of it is the glass and the windows. But you could basically construct a whole house out of hemp without cutting down a tree or using a barrel of oil. You can use the hemp oil for stains and paint and all of that also.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I'm just known, first of all, I don't smoke marijuana, this question is only based on the fact that, you know, some of my listeners want to know. Now, hypothetically, you say that, you know, the hemp is the different properties of the cannabis plant. Now, if I was to have them side by side, I wouldn't be able to know which is which one gets you high and which one is useful. So, hypothetically, if I was growing hemp in my yard and somebody said this, said, oh, man, she growing marijuana, and all of a sudden they come raid my place and they see all the backyard filled up with this stuff, how can I prove it so I don't go to jail? You know what I'm saying? That this is not the cannabis that makes you high. This is the other stuff. How can I prove that so I don't go to jail?
Sure. And it depends on what your particular state laws are, first of all, because it varies state by state. But the only way you can test that is that you can take a piece of that material, take it to a lab, and do some testing, which is usually done with spectrometry, and you can tell what the level of, if it's below 0.3% THC, then it's hemp. But the only way you can judge that is through a scientific test.
So regardless of what it looks like, you know, when you're growing the hemp, you know, it still looks like the mother plant of the cannabis. I mean, because I'm saying if I use that part that's only good for making stuff, like you said, paper, clothing, whatever, how is it possible that if I'm using a small part of it that it grows to look just like the real stuff? Is it because it's part of the, I guess, like a mother and a child, it's part of that thing? Is that why
it's the same plant? It's the same kind of cultivar. It's both. There's basically two kinds of cannabis. There's cannabis sativa and cannabis indica. There's also a third kind that's kind of an offshoot called ruderalis, cannabis ruderalis, but that's not very similar to indica and sativa. But it doesn't matter. Some people are confused. They think, oh, well, sativa is marijuana and indica is hemp. No, that's not right. It only boils down to the percentage of THC. Now, there is a difference in the growing method. Now, the people that grow marijuana or cannabis for smoking purposes to get you high, and the people that grow the CBD hemp plants, they grow like one plant every 3 feet. And so the plant is all bushy, and it kind of looks like a Christmas tree, actually. It's fatter at the bottom and kind of tapers up, kind of looks like a Christmas tree. But it's very bushy and not very tall. And that's fine for the flower, and that's the part that you use to get the marijuana constituents, and the CBD is the flower. That's the only part that they use, really. And the rest of the plant is just going to waste. But you get a lot of flower when you grow it that way. Now, if you grow it a different way, and which is the way that industrial hemp should be grown, is you plant it very densely. You plant it like 50 to 100 plants per square yard. And so what that does is that, first of all, it shields the ground. It creates canopy over the ground, so the sunlight can't get to the ground, so the weeds can't get a hold. So you're controlling the weeds. You don't need the herbicides to control the weeds, which is good. But then the plants are so crowded, they can't get bushy. The only way they can grow is straight up. So you get these tall, thin plants. And those are the ideal plants to use for the fiber, because the longer the fiber, the more valuable it is. And so if you want the tall, straight plants, and plus it's easier to process the plants that way to get the fiber. The plant is processed in a machine called a decorticator. And that basically separates the bast from the herd. And there's different versions of those types of machines, but that's the basic process. But the best plants to run through those machines are the tall, skinny plants. The short, bushy ones, you can't really run through those machines. Now, there is one other component. There is one other component that you can make out of the waste product from the hemp. And even the waste product from the cannabis producers and the CBD producers, the rest of that material can be ground up and then run through what's called a biochar oven. and it can be turned into a substance called biochar. And biochar is kind of like charcoal. And it can be used for a lot of different things. It can be used for soil remediation. It can be used for water filtration. It can be used as a component in biodegradable bioplastics. And the offshoot of the process is called pyrolysis that you create that. It's basically burning it in a low oxygen atmosphere. So you don't have a flame. You're just basically cooking it. And so what that does, you get a couple of byproducts. One is you get what's called syngases, and that's a combination of these different gases like ammonia, carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, and you can compress that, and you can use it just like propane, and you can use it to generate electricity. And then the other thing, when you're feeding in the biomass into the hemp oven, into the biochar oven, you're creating a bunch of excess heat. Once you get the process started and you keep just feeding in biomass in there, it's a self-containing process. But you do generate all this excess heat. And there's a thing called a Tesla turbine, which Nikola Tesla patented back in 1917. And you can take that excess heat and you can turn that also into electricity. So by taking this waste, you can turn it all into biochar, which can be used for the things I said, and you can also create electricity out of the waste. So that's phase one of our project that we're doing here, because that's the need right now. There's tons and tons of all this waste sitting around all over the place. So we can take that waste and turn it into something useful. And then if I had a whole hemp plant processing facility open tomorrow, I wouldn't have anything to put in it because nobody's growing hemp the way it should be grown. They're growing it the way the marijuana growers do or the way that the CBD guys do, not the dense, tall ones like I was talking about. So that's phase two of our project, is to get the farmers to start growing it that way. And that way, when you grow it that way, it just fits into the normal farmer's crop rotation. You don't have to have a lot of extra special equipment or anything like that or expertise to grow it. The farmers can just grow it just like another crop. And you know, there was over 90 million acres of corn grown in this country last year. There was like 120,000 acres of hemp. So we got a long way to catch up to corn, to get it up to that commodity level. But when you have the seed, you've got the flower, you got the bast, you got the herd, you got the biochar, you got the electricity, you know, you've got 5-6 products there that can be turned into thousands of products. Whereas, you know, the CBD guys and the marijuana guys, they just have one product. Yeah, you can make it tinctures or edibles or whatever, but smokable, but still one product. So that's the future of the hemp industry.
Yes, well, Dwayne, I'm going to let my co-host ask this next question.
Okay. Sure. All right, Dwayne. My next question is, you know, you're listening to you talk, you're so, like, insightful, and you're like a hemp historian. And so my question is, how long have you loved hemp? How long have you been a fan of hemp?
Well, I was a Peace Corps volunteer back in the mid-70s, and I was in the Philippines, and I was working in rice irrigation, but I was doing some research at this place called the International Rice Research Institute in a place called Los Baños Laguna, south of Manila, and they were also doing hemp research there also. So that was the first time I ever saw hemp. So that's been, 45 years ago?
Wow.
So, but I've always known about hemp, but until recently, until the whole change that's going on, that's happening in the United States with regard to hemp, I didn't pay much attention to it. But then when my wife and I decided to move out of the Denver metro area because we were sick of the big city and moved back down to the small town where I grew up in, I hadn't really pursued it. But then I came back down here, and that was about almost 4 years ago. And some of my friends were just getting into starting to grow the hemp, and they all had the same complaint. They said, there's no processing for it. And so I did some research, and I found out what we needed to do, and that's when I founded the Colorado Hemp Processing Cooperative. And we're a true cooperative. We're a limited cooperative association, which is the 21st century version of cooperatives. It's only been around since 2008 on the federal level. And then each state has to take that and adapt it to their specific statutes in their state. And Colorado did that in 2012, but not a lot of states have done that yet. And the ideal thing about the cooperative model for business is that it protects and rewards the people doing the work, the growers, the farmers. They're members of the cooperative, and so we'll offer them contracts for their seed and flower, and another contract for their stocks. But also, as a member of the cooperative, the cooperatives don't really make profits, but they do generate excess revenues, and then those excess revenues are distributed back to the shareholders of the cooperative on a once-a-year basis. So basically, the growers, as a member of the cooperative, can get three checks off one plant. So they're getting rewarded, they're getting paid, and every grower is going to need that processing, so it's a natural fit. But that's where we'll stop, and we'll create those five raw materials, and then we'll wholesale those to second-tier processors and manufacturers to take them and make whatever they want to make out of them, whether that be cosmetics or food or hempcrete or paper or oil or whatever. And then that's your if you have them in the same area, you don't have to be hauling that stuff long distances. That kind of cuts into your margin. And so you can stimulate the local rural economy in a couple ways there, plus the farmers. And then you can also add a retail aspect where you would have hemp factory outlet stores. So you're going to really stimulate the local economy by the first-tier processing, the second-tier processing and manufacturing, the retail, and then also rewarding the farmers that are doing the work. And then the other nice thing about cooperatives is that, unlike corporations where your votes are determined by how many shares you have, in a cooperative, a true cooperative, it doesn't matter how many shares that you have. Every shareholder only gets one vote. So it makes it more fair to everybody. Everybody feels like their vote is just as good as anybody else's, has just as much clout. And again, so that kind of is an anathema to big money corporations that want to come in and try to control everything. And cooperatives also can be shareholders in other cooperatives. So if we have a cooperative in Colorado, we can be a shareholder with a cooperative in Texas, and then we're all working together, we're sharing, we're collaborating, and you know, a rising tide raises all the boats. So it's to me, it's the best business model to move forward on how we're going to take this beast of a hemp in an enterprise, the industry, and get up to that trillion-dollar level.
Well,
I know
Wayne,
I'm sitting here talking a lot.
I hate to interrupt you, but we need to take a little small break, and we'll be back.
Sure.
In 2 years, so stay with us.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how you doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Just been really busy. Sorry I haven't been here this week. Yeah, uh-huh. Oh, I haven't forgotten, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey, man. I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. But things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
No! No! Who is this? Why is he in my house?
Who are you, man?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, my girlfriend.
Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
When the dogwoods start to bloom and the crickets hum the tune, that's usually about the time that I feel most alive. But the news has all been bad and the whole world seems so sad. I ain't had much else going on, so I sat down and wrote this song. I miss my mom, I miss my dad, I miss the road, I miss my band, giving hugs and shaking hands. It's a mystery, I suppose, just how long this thing goes. But there'll be crowds and there'll be shows, and there will be light after dawn. Someday when we aren't 6 feet apart. The first thing that I'm gonna do is climb on in some corner booth, take the whole damn family out, buy my buddies all around, pay some extra on the tab, catch a movie, catch a cab, watch a ball game from the stands, probably overwatch my hands. I miss my mom, I miss my dad, I miss the road, I miss my band, giving hugs and shaking hands. It's a mystery, I suppose, just how long this thing goes. But there'll be crowds and there'll be shows, there will be light after dark, someday when we aren't 6 feet apart. I miss my mom, I miss my dad, I miss the road, I miss my band, giving hugs and shaking hands. Now it's a mystery, I suppose, just how long this thing goes. But there'll be crowds and there'll be shows, and there will be light after dark, someday when we aren't 6 feet apart. Now there will be light after dark, someday when we aren't 6 feet apart.
Well, welcome back, Unmasked. Authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris, and I want to thank my listeners north to south, east to west, and everybody in the 30 countries that's tuning in. And if you would like to talk to our guests, hit the 1 key, and I'll open your mic. But until then, you can stay in the background and just listen. But, you know, Dwayne, I do have a question. You said that if the hemp plant was right beside the mother plant, the cannabis plant, you couldn't tell the difference. Now, I know you stated that the hemp is a lower grade, so it don't get you high. So because they look alike, is the hemp plant growing from a slice of the part that makes it hemp, even though it grow up looking like the regular marijuana, or does it grow up being the real thing, and you got to figure out how to take that part off of it to make it hemp?
There's different genetics, and they've identified, you know, 400 or 500 different strains of the cannabis plant, and some strains are just more prone to produce more THC. Other ones are more CBD than THC, even though the ratios are kind of the same. There's just a lot of variance in those. So if you cloned a cannabis plant that is high THC, that's what you're going to get. If you clone a hemp plant that's low THC, that's what you're going to get. And then again, it's the growing method that makes it the plant look like either tall, skinny, or like a Christmas tree. It's not the genetics. It's, even though there's some genetics are used for seeds that are just naturally shorter.
Yeah, well, earlier in the program, I thought I heard you use the word chiva or something like that. Now, I'm a mature woman.
Sativa? Cannabis sativa?
Back in the day, there was some gold-colored marijuana that I must admit that I hit. Oh, my head was spinning, and it was called chiva or something like that. But
there's two main strains of cannabis, cannabis sativa and cannabis indica, and they kind of have some unique characteristics, and the gold color is not, it can be on either type, but cannabis sativa leaves are kind of skinnier and longer than the cannabis indica leaves. Those are fatter and shorter, but the cannabis sativa, the high from that is more like a stimulus kind of high, where the cannabis indica is more of a sleepy type of high. That's the difference between those two.
But I must admit, again, for all my little church friends listening, y'all know that's my past. I'm telling you about my past.
Well, you know, the cannabis plant has never killed anybody. Never. Anybody. So, you know, it's this whole reefer madness thing was just concocted out of thin air for the big capitalists to protect their wood industries and their newspaper industries and their oil industries, and that's why they vilified cannabis, because it was a threat to their industries.
I grew up in the Woodstock area, so you know that's what we're doing, loving everybody, you know. Smoking weed, our children. So, you know, that was the thing of the day. So it is what it is. That's not who I am today. But, you know, my past makes me able to mentor and talk to younger people and tell them why they should say no to certain things, because I've been there, done that. And I don't want nobody to tell me nothing what I shouldn't be doing if they never walked in my shoes. So, you know, y'all say what y'all will. Y'all can judge me if you want. But I really don't care, because that's not who I am today. That's what I used to do.
Yeah. Well, we're just in this to bring some economic stimulus back to rural America. And one of my favorite authors is a gentleman by the name of Buckminster Fuller. He invented the geodesic dome. And I was fortunate enough to hear him speak about 1980. And one of my favorite quotes of his is, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." And so that's what we're trying to do with the hemp cooperatives, is build a new model that we can utilize this versatile plant and bring economic stimulus back to the hardworking people that are doing the work, the farmers. They've been screwed so long by all the big money monopolies and and they're basically indentured servants at this. So we need to help them out. I have friends and relatives that are farmers and ranchers, and I just want to bring them some hope that things can be better in the future for them. So that's
okay.
Why we're doing this.
I appreciate you saying that. Now hold that thought for 1 minute, because we got 5 minutes on the clock, and I'm gonna let my co-host ask the question before we got to run up out of here. But before he asks that question, I need to ask you, can you come back for part two? Because there are so many things I have not yet asked you, and I know there's a lot of questions that my listeners want to know, and I think my next availability is in January, probably the middle or third week of January.
Sure,
so
I'll be happy to come back anytime.
Thank you, Dwayne. Okay, now, Chris, ask your question, Dwayne, be mindful. I want people to know how to reach you, and you got like maybe 5 minutes for him to ask the question, answer, and tell him how to reach you, and then we'll bring you back in January.
Sure.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. All right. I was just waiting. Dwayne, my question is, how long have you been part of the Green Party? How long have you been a Green Party voter, and does it have to do with their hemp, with their hemp support?
Actually, I've been Green Party since around 1988, right in there, 87, 88. And the only reason I joined the Green Party was because I was not really happy with the other two major parties. I didn't agree with everything they did. I don't agree with everything that the Green Party does. I do agree with the fact that the Green Party doesn't take any corporate donations, and so they're not as likely to be tainted, if you will. And the Green Party has a lot of things that are in conjunction with hemp, and that's a green revolution and using a plant to regenerate and renew the earth that's been basically decimated by all the chemicals of the GMO crops and stuff like that. So, yeah, I've been Green Party a long time.
Okay.
It's just because I agree with what they stand for more than I agree with the other two parties.
I understand. All right.
Yeah, we do have a website. Our website is CO, that's like Colorado, the abbreviation for Colorado, COHPC, Colorado Hemp Processing Cooperative, .org, so COHPC.org. And there's a place on there you can send me an email, info@COHP.org, or I'll even give you my phone number if you want to call. We've had some issues on our website with the e-processing to when we're recruiting for shareholders. We have two types of shareholders. We have patron shareholders. Patron shareholders are basically people who are utilizing or want to utilize hemp products of whatever kind. And then we have investor shareholders. And there's some differences there, and I won't get into that. The differences, it's outlined on the website. But the shares for the patron shares are only $100 a share. And we kept that low on purpose just so we don't price anybody out of the market. And we want as many people to join up and be shareholders with us as we can. And then
okay, you got 90 seconds. Then tell everybody how
okay.
to get a hold of you, and you can come back on
yeah.
January 22nd. Okay.
Okay. Let me write that. January 22nd.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you can get a hold of me through the website, or you can call me. My phone number is 303-525-2611, and that is a cell phone. So you can also text me at that. 303-11, or again, go to our website, cohpc.org, and there's a place on there you can send me an email also. And I'll be happy to come back in January, and
if you
have questions, give me a call or shoot me a text or whatever. We're just moving forward.
Everyone, he will be back January the 22nd. Mark your calendars because, man, I got a whole lot of questions. I should have gave him an hour. I love you.
Well,
thank
hopefully
you so
we'll
much,
have
Terry.
Our issues fixed on the website by then, so people can join, become shareholders on the website.
Oh, you can be shareholders? Okay, well, we don't want to talk. But anyway, you take care. You have a great weekend, you and your lovely wife. And stay, you know, masked up. You know, wash your hands. Don't want you catching COVID-19 because that's killing too many of us.
Yeah, we're going out. As soon as we get done here, I'm going over to my 90-year-old mother's house for dinner.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, you take care, darling. Good night, Chris. Good night,
thank
Dwayne.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Thank you, Chris. Bye.